Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:16 p.m. and that is Pacific Summer Time. Well, today oil prices were up by almost $2 on Brent, so that's a pretty emphatic bounce again from the $75 area. This is the second time in 2 weeks. So this reaction has so far been limited to approximately $6, which is marginally larger than what we have seen over the course of the last year. I think people have been pretty much conditioned to expect a reaction of somewhere in the region of approximately $5, and that bigger one in February was something of an exception. And there are bottlenecks. I see a number of articles talking about bottlenecks in Texas around the Permian Basin, and the discount to WTI has grown quite considerably because there's a lack of infrastructure, and not least because there is a substantial quantity of additional oil that is getting produced, and they even have dilemmas about how much gas they're going to burn off simply because they can't get it to market. So the USA is now the largest producer in the world, and that represents a significant issue for other producers, not least because until quite recently the US was also the biggest consumer. Well, it's become much more efficient at consuming, and China is now the largest producer, excuse me, consumer. And that is representing a rather significant reordering of the priorities within the energy sector. And we can be certain that that is also featuring in the discussions between the US and China in terms of trade. I think a lot of the deficit concerns could be I think alerted or arrested by the decision that China should be importing US oil. Well, what this has also contributed to is the fact that the Continuous Commodity Index has paused around 430. Now, it was in negative territory today, but obviously that wasn't because of what's going on in the energy markets, but rather what's going on in the agricultural markets. Corn prices were down again today, and now they've broken the progression of higher reaction lows. When we look at it on a weekly basis, then this is confirming resistance around the $4 area, and it really does need to bounce from the region of the trend mean if potential for additional higher to lateral ranging is to be given the benefit of the doubt. So we are definitely getting some to and fro in the agricultural commodity sector. But when we look at the industrial resources, the FTSE 350 mining index was also in somewhat negative territory in here today, but so far it is holding the majority of the week's advance so far. When we look to the Australian mining index, it's a reasonably similar story. And it was in positive territory today, reflecting the rather strong performance we had yesterday. We may get a little bit of easing tomorrow, but this continues to look like a reasonably consistent uptrend, despite the fact that you do have something of an overbought condition relative to the trend mean. It still looks like a broadly positive environment. Well, when we look around the world, there are a number of hotspots that are certainly gaining investor interest. The Brazilian real continues to weaken, and it is now down to almost 4 to the dollar. Well, that was when we had some substantial intervention on behalf of the Brazilian Central Bank to support the Selic rate back in 2015 and 2016, and then we had a pretty impressive rally, almost 25% for the real. It's unwound all of that advance rather quickly in the last couple of months, and now the big question is what's going to happen next. The what I think is rather important is that the Bovespa index has broken the progression of higher reaction lows, and this is in nominal terms. This is so what we're now seeing is concerted selling pressure. People are getting worried about the quality of institutions that we have in Brazil and whether there is in fact going to be a coup. So it is even an indictment of the state of administrative governance in the country that the military doesn't seem to even have much appetite to take over because there is such a low standard in terms of governance within the country. So that is going to royal markets. We're certainly seeing evidence of that, and more importantly, this uptrend is now broken. It is going to require some substantial improvement in order to arrest potential for additional downside. And if we look at that on a currency adjusted basis by simply looking at an ETF, well, the progression of higher reaction lows was broken 4 weeks ago. There is certainly a somewhat oversold condition in the short term, but this is now a much more difficult environment, and it really does need to demonstrate that it can put in a higher reaction low, sustain a rally, push back above the trend mean, sustain that move. So, I mean, the list of things that it needs to do in order to begin to confirm a return to demand dominance and help to repair investor confidence is rather lengthy at this stage, considering that it has pulled back so violently. So, best case scenario is that we get a short covering rally that takes it back up towards the trend mean, and it is probably going to require some substantial improvements in the standards of governance within the country. Well, what we're seeing in the Turkish lira is rather interesting, because the Turkish Central Bank intervened again in the market today, as that's twice in 2 weeks, and it did accelerate down to test that five to the dollar level. So when we look at it in this weekly chart, there is a clear acceleration, and now we're getting the massive reaction against it. So there is the realistic possibility with the central bank starting to really intervene in a meaningful manner that we're going to get a reversionary move, potentially similar to what we had through the first 3 quarters of 2017. Well, that would certainly help to, I think, allay some of the fears that the lira is going to collapse, but it's not going to allay fears about the standards of governance within Turkey. Erdogan is still very much in power and is not exhibiting any remorse, or indeed really demonstrating that there is going to be any real appetite for reform. So this is probably not the acceleration, but an acceleration lower, which is likely to unwind the oversold condition for the lira, but it's going to have to do substantially more than that. And for example, when we look at an ETF, maybe this time listed in the UK, well, the stock market is at an interesting place, because it's right at the lower side of what is effectively a 7-year range, and it's beginning to steady, because the central bank is supporting the currency. And we're starting to see some evidence, at least, of support coming through. Well, that's also a good example of what we can anticipate happening for other stock markets. The Argentinians have raised interest rates to 40%. So that should help to arrest the decline in the peso, at least temporarily, but they're going to have to start to come through with additional reforms. And the Merval index has now steadied from the region of the trend mean. Now, when we look at the peso, it has at least paused around the 25 area, but so far we haven't seen a substantial move here. The reason, of course, that you've got interest rates at 40% is because the country's finances are in a parlous state, and they have got a massive fiscal deficit. So that is something that I think people are going to be paying attention to. Then I think when we think about what else is going on around the world and where are the bigger trouble spots, well, people are now, I think, beginning to think about what is going on in terms of the South African market. But I do have this graphic that I think is worth highlighting with regard to Argentina. I'm just going to pull it over here, and it is the current account deficit. So the deficit right now in 20, well, at least in 2017, is $161 billion, and they have issued a $100 bond. Well, that $100 bond, which is US dollar denominated, doesn't look particularly bright when you're having to pay 40% on your domestic debt. So I wonder, are we approaching a point where Argentina may have to default again? That is a very unfortunate circumstance, but they're going to have to get really aggressive with their fiscal consolidation if they're going to avoid that. Well, let's take a look at the South African rand, because it cruised through 13 today, and that was up 31 ticks, or the US dollar was up 31 ticks. Now it is sustaining a move back above the trend mean, and it is now, I think, timely to begin to question whether this downtrend for the dollar since the beginning of 2016 is not over. And as long as it is sustaining a move above the trend mean, I think that we have to begin to, I think, veer towards that conclusion. If we look at the South African market again on a currency adjusted basis, it has encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean, and it has been broadly range bound since 2011 and is pulling back from the upper side of that range. On a nominal basis, the Johannesburg All Share has been ranging with an upward bias, but again, a good part of that outperformance has been because of the underperformance of the currency. So, then I think it is when we look at the currency adjusted performance of some of these stock markets, we can see that there is some logic behind the fear that investors have about emerging markets. Now, one of the problems that emerging market investors have is that they tend to invest in indices like the MSCI Emerging Markets. So, when we think about how are these indices compiled? Well, it's generally on a market cap basis. So, the Emerging Markets Index is back in the region of the trend mean, and there probably isn't an awful lot of South African or Argentinian or Turkish exposure within it. But one thing that it most certainly does have is 10 cent, and 10 cent is one of the largest constituents in the Emerging Markets Index, and it is now bouncing from the region of the trend mean. So that is rather encouraging. China represents a rather large proportion of the shares within the Emerging Markets Index, and the H Share Index is also home to a number of the larger cap companies within that index, and it is also bouncing from that 12,000 level. It really did need to confirm support in this area, and so far this week it is doing so. So that is rather heartening, that there are certainly trouble spots within the emerging markets sector, but that China so far has been relatively resilient, and most particularly its technology sector. So Alibaba was breaking out to new highs yesterday, and it was a little bit easier in here today. Then you also had JD.com doing rather well yesterday, bouncing from the lower side of its range, but pausing today in the region of the trend mean. But that is a clear upward dynamic and beginning to at least lend some credence to the possibility that support has been found. Well, then we look at India. Well, somebody asked me today why I hadn't mentioned the monsoon for India, because we're only at the very beginning of the monsoon season, and I think it's a little bit early yet to be counting our chickens. Then when we look at the rupee, the much more important point is that the RBI raised interest rates today by a quarter of a point, the first time since 2015. It suggests that they are now back in a tightening cycle. They are attempting to support the currency in the region of the lows before it breaks down. If it were to break down, then the short sellers would start to come in. Then there is the potential that the rupee could come under sustained pressure, and it would be more expensive for the RBI to defend it. So they are acting somewhat preemptively, and they do anticipate that there's going to be more inflation. If we do have a good monsoon in India, well, that will help to lessen the inflationary pressures, but probably not remove them. And the Bombay Banks Index, which is a lead indicator for the Indian market, was in positive territory today, but it is right in the region of this 30,000 level, and it failed in that area at the beginning of the year. So I think that there is room for some additional consolidation within the Indian market. Then I think if we look at Japan, well, the Japanese market was up another almost 200 points in here today. So it has now confirmed support in the region of the trend mean that we've had a reasonably mild consolidation following a pretty impressive rebound from 20,000. As long as it's holding the region of the trend mean, I don't think anyone is going to be particularly worried about the outlook for the Japanese market. I think people are beginning to be somewhat alarmed at the deterioration in Australian banks. There has been a marked deterioration over the course of this year so far, and it's coming back down towards the lows that were posted back in 2016. I think it is worth highlighting that you do have a yield in the region of about 6.5%, and the PE is not challenging around 11.5. So, given that, why is the sector deteriorating so much? Well, part of the reason for that is because of the Royal Commission and because a number of the banks are anticipating they're going to have to pay fines. So that's going to take a chunk out of earnings. Then, of course, there are continued worries about what's happening in the property market and whether it has peaked or whether this is a pause or whether there are going to be additional rules on foreign ownership. So, and these are the kinds of issues that people have had for a substantial amount of time already. Well, in Comment to the Day today, I've posted a number of charts for home construction supply companies. So Adelaide Brighton is one of those, and it remains in a reasonably consistent uptrend. If we were imminently going to see a crash in Australian property, I think it is reasonable to expect that the building supply companies would either at least be a coincident indicator and potentially a lead indicator for any trouble in the market, and we're just not seeing that. So that I think is a rather important consideration, that certainly we know that the price of property in places like Australia and Canada is rather high, but and I think in Vancouver the average price of a dwelling now is in excess of $1 million, 1.1 million as far as I know, and that's a rather extraordinary sum. So we know that that has been the case. It's been the case for a number of years already. The more important point is, when is it going to end? And potentially that could end when we have higher interest rates. But so far we have not seen higher interest rates really cutting into consumer demand. And Treasury yields got up to about 3% yesterday, but they were down again in here today, and they're around 2.92%. This continues to look like some consolidation in the region of 3%, but that was an emphatic rebound last week. So we are getting some two-way action. There is still a lot of disagreement, but certainly the overextension relative to the trend mean has rapidly been unwound by simply by virtue of the fact that the yield has been mostly going sideways for approximately 6 months. And it would require a sustained move below the trend mean to really confirm that we're not in a supply-dominated environment for treasuries generally. I think it is also worth looking at the stock market. There's been a lot of speculation about which company is going to be the first one to get to a trillion-dollar market cap. And so far, it is Apple is the one that is closest. Well, we do have a somewhat of a short-term overbought condition, and we saw some selling pressure coming in today, but it was paired towards the close. 7,200 represents the region of the peak back in March, so it is natural that we get some pause and consolidation. Well, the 7,000 area was also an area of previous resistance, and if we get a small consolidation between 72 and 70 and 7,000, 7,200 and 7,000, then I think that would be perhaps the best case scenario. Apple shares broke out well ahead of the Nasdaq, and they were down less than a dollar in here today. So this remains still a rather benign environment generally for some of the largest companies in the world. And Amazon today was down about $6, but on a $1,690 share, that's almost nothing at all. And when we look at that on a daily basis, then it did rally for, I think, I'm gonna very briefly count, I think, 9 consecutive sessions. And then when we think about that, then is it too unreasonable that we get a couple of days on the downside? And not at all. So as long as the breakout is being sustained, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Now, we know that there has been massive investment, that these are the kinds of companies that have been able to repatriate their gains from overseas, and that has lent them a tailwind so far this year, and that's probably a one-time affair. So that there are going to be, I think perhaps we're going to have a more difficult time in the second half of the year, but so far there's no evidence that these advances are over, and that they continue to hold their progressions of higher reaction lows, that Amazon has got a history of pulling back violently, and when it does so, it bounces emphatically eventually, and it has just done that again. Well, it still has now approximately a $340 or $330 overextension relative to the trend mean, so it's not a share that's without risk. All of the arguments about how expensive Netflix is are equally valid at $360 as they were at $300, and it continues to exhibit a rather wide overextension relative to the trend mean, approximately $100. So we know that there is some risk here of a pause in consolidation, which would allow that overextension to be unwound, but so far it has been really rather steady. And this was not anything in the way of a dynamic move in the markets in here today. The Dow Jones, which had the clearest evidence of acceleration in January, has now pushed through the $25,000, excuse me, point level. And it was not quite able to hold all of its advance in here today, but I think what was interesting was that Caterpillar, which had been among the leaders into that move in January, has pushed back up, and it's retesting the $160 area, and this has also confirmed resistance, excuse me, support in the region of the trend mean. Boeing had also accelerated to its previous peak, and it actually moved to a new all-time high in here yesterday. So this is also, I think, has been a very impressive performance. We're still in a bull market environment, but I think sentiment has got rather ahead of the market, and we are due some pause and consolidation. I think that is the most likely scenario in here right now. Well, the euro was also in positive territory in here today. It wasn't quite able to hold all of its advance, but it has now broken the downtrend over the course of the last 4 or 5 weeks, and this is rapidly unwinding the oversold condition relative to the trend mean. But this is not a particularly bullish chart, and it really has a lot of work to do if it is going to reassert demand dominance. So the euro would at least have to sustain a move back above 120 to really question that we're not in a supply-dominated environment. When we look at what's going on in German Bunds, then the yield was up another couple of basis points in here today, and it is back in the region of the trend mean. There has been, until just the last couple of weeks, there was a progression of higher reaction lows over the course of the last 18 months, and I think that we've had such an emphatic rebound that the most likely scenario now is that we're going to see yields go back up and test probably the 90 basis point to 1% level. And a sustained move back above 1% would begin to complete what is so far an almost 3-year base formation. And with the failed downside break in 2016 below the psychological zero bound level. And that really was an incredible peak of enthusiasm, that people were literally paying the German government to take their money for a decade, which I'm sure that when we look back on this in 20 or 30 years' time, people are going to wonder how that kind of situation could ever have occurred. And yet it was more than normal for not only for that period in 2016, but until really quite recently on the shorter end of the curve. Within the last couple of weeks, in Italian bonds were in negative territory. And these are rather extraordinary circumstances. And we have to, I think, pay due consideration to the fact that one of the clearest characteristics of crowd psychology is that crowds are tolerant of contradiction. And it is an inherent contradiction that investors expect to make a positive return from paying someone else to take their money. This is a rather incredible set of circumstances. And I think with economic growth starting to pick up and the ECB rather intent on testing the strength of the market by exiting its quantitative easing program, we are going to see some of that being tested. Then, if we look at the FTSE 100, it pushed on to new all-time highs last week, and it was rather oversold in the short term. So I think then the potential now is that we are going to get some consolidation, but so far the consolidation has been relatively mild. So I think that is the main message, that oil prices are reasonably firm, precious metal prices are at least so far steady, but have not been able to muster the wherewithal to break up and out of this range. But stock markets were somewhat overbought. They do look like they're going to get some consolidation, and there are problem spots in isolated areas of the emerging markets. But the big one, China, is looking at least beginning to show signs that demand is returning to dominance. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.